Good morning. The hallway is still full. It's a great day. We have a wonderful attendance today. It is so nice to see people out on a beautiful day like this to come and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that our assembly today will be beneficial to all of us and that we will leave here more determined and dedicated to do what Christ asked us to do. Before we begin this morning, I have some announcements I'd like to make. The first one is next Sunday. Get closer. No, without bending it, turn my head. Stand to the side, get in front of the microphone. Next Sunday, April the 24th, is the last Sunday of the month. We will have our fellowship meal. So plan to come and bring a dish or two or three or whatever and come and enjoy the fellowship. And after the fellowship meal, there will be a presentation here in the auditorium where the children in grades 1 through 6 who have been on the service project will present that to us at that time. So two things on next Sunday. And now you need to save the date because on May 21, there will be a ladies' day here at the building. And Elsion Roberts, one of our former members, will make the presentation at that time. So let's plan on coming and supporting that work. And then for the ladies, there's a garden party scheduled at Toy Muir's house on May the 11th from 11 to 1. She and Charlene are going to have a tea party for the ladies. Sound like a good thing. Hope it doesn't rain. That's all of the announcements, so please bow as we begin with a prayer. Father, it is so good to be here on this beautiful day, to dedicate our time and to rededicate our lives to being a follower of yours, a Christ-like person who does things that will show the world that we are your obedient servant. It's a good life. It's the best life we can live. It's the most free life we can live. And so we need to enjoy the blessings that you've given us. You promise us so much. You answer our prayers. You give us a future that is beyond this world. We thank you, Lord, for all those blessings. We pray now that you will be with those who lead and direct our service today, that they will do so humbly and with a desire to worship you. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
I wanted to ask a real quick announcement. If you did not get one of the small communion cups on your way in, if you'll just raise your hand real quick, we'll pass those out. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joy I feel, the bliss I share. Of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there, and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days, for none can compare to your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days, for none can compare to your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days! O Ancient of Days!
Oh, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes.
He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord,
up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Our scripture reading this morning will come from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes was white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. They then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'"
Good morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian? There was a private Christian school who had put up a big table in a lunchroom, and they wanted to make sure that they got a right response from all the students. So on one end of the table, they had put a bunch of apples, and they left a note that said, "Just take one apple. God is watching." And one of the students had a clever response. At the under end of the table was a pile of chocolate chip cookies, and he left a note for the students that said, "Take as many as you want. God's watching the apples." They wanted an obedient response. They got a clever response. I bit my tongue, and it was bleeding. And I told Dee Dee and my granddaughter Ava that I had bit my tongue. And I was looking for a comforting response. And Ava said, "Why did you bite your tongue?" I didn't get a comforting response. Sometimes there's expected responses, and sometimes there's needed responses. And the expected response was happening as Jesus gave up his will and gave up his life for us. They had crucified him and buried him in a tomb. And the disciples' response was one of fear. and sorrow and confusion. But Jesus knew that Sunday was coming, and he had stated that on the third day he would rise. And when he came back, he needed his disciples to have a response. They wouldn't be right where he wanted them to be when he returned, but he would move them from fear to faith, from hopelessness to hopefulness, from a sense of lost purpose to a sense of mission. It was an important, critical day in the kingdom of God. Jesus had risen, and his disciples were still stuck on Friday, but he would move them to where they needed to be. They were hiding. Jesus would give them courage to come out of hiding. Thomas would doubt. He would turn that doubt into faith. He would move them where they needed to be. This is a day a lot of people look at as religious holiday. The Scripture doesn't authorize that for us, but it teaches us the importance of the resurrection and how we are to respond to it. So we're going to take a few minutes this morning to focus on our response, because it is in the New Testament central and paramount to who we are as God's people. The tomb was empty. And in Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Who we are as God's people, what we believe in, is connected to the fact that Jesus didn't stay in the grave. Jesus rose, and He is alive. He's our high priest. He's interceding for us. Those truths are important. But also the truth of Scripture about how we are to respond and how Jesus needed His disciples to respond is also critical for us to understand. So this morning we're going to look at three responses or resolutions to the resurrection in Matthew chapter 28. First of all, the tomb is empty, so live in hope. Mike just read for us the Scripture that says that at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. We know from Mark's account they were wondering, what are we going to do about the stone? There was some estimate a 2-ton stone covering the tomb. There were soldiers that guarded the tomb. It looked like a big problem to man. But part of what the resurrection teaches us is when they looked at a problem that they thought was big, they needed to remember, when we look at things and say, that's a big problem, God looks at that same problem and says, that's a little problem. And sometimes when we look at things that we think are small, God looks at those things as big. They looked at the stone at the tomb as a big problem. We would look at the guards in front of the tomb, these military men guarding the tomb, is a problem. The tomb was sealed. Looks like a big problem. But when things look big to us, they're simple for God. That stone was rolled away, like a child picking up a marshmallow and putting it in a cup of hot chocolate. It was no problem for God. And we sometimes need to remember that part of the message of the empty tomb is we have a God that can do exceedingly abundantly far above all we ask or imagine within us because of His power. We may think something's big, but to God it's small. They thought the walls of Jericho were big, but to God that was small. Maybe they thought the world being destroyed, flooded by water, was big. But God prepared a boat and saved Noah and his family. Sometimes we look at things as big, but in God's eyes they're small. But sometimes we look at things as small that are really big to God. Nadab and Abihu probably thought, hey, we'll just do a little different incense. Not a big deal. But it was a big deal to God. Samuel goes and he's looking at Jesse's sons. They think the oldest guy's the big deal. They're looking on the outside. They thought David was no big deal because he was small. But God doesn't look at things the way we look at things. And they would learn with God the tomb, the stone, the death of Jesus may have appeared to be a big thing, but it was a small thing. We might tell a little lie and we think it's no big deal, but it's a big deal to God. We may think it's not a big deal to miss services, but it's a big thing to God. We need to remember God looks at things differently than we do, and we need to look at things the way God looks at things. And sometimes we see things we think are big, and they're small. He rolls that stone away, and the angel is sitting on the stone. Death is conquered. And he says, and the guards were so afraid. The earth quaked, they quaked. But Jesus was alive. And then the angel answered and said to the women, don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for He is risen, as He said. Jesus had told them, I'm going to rise. And now the angel's reminding them of what Jesus, because He needed to take them from fear to faith. He needed to take them from where they were to where they needed to be. When we think of the tomb, we need to look at it and go from where we are to where we need to be. That is, we put our faith in God. We put our trust in God. We put our hope in Him because He does not disappoint. And He says, come, I want you to get these words. Come and come see the place where the Lord lay and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead and indeed He has gone before you into Galilee and you will see Him. Behold, I have told you. He says, come, see, go, tell. That's the response He needed from these women. Come, see, go, tell. He needs our response to be, come, see, go, tell. Come and examine the evidence. He's inviting them to come into the tomb and look, observe, see. He's not here. Now go and tell the disciples. And they responded. They did what was asked. They went in, they saw. They went, and they would tell. But on the way, they would encounter Jesus because He was still building their hope and building their confidence. He was getting them to go from where they were, which was fear, to a place of faith and a place that trusted in Him. When I read this story, and if you look at Luke's account, what hits my heart is that the message is you can count on Jesus. He said He was going to raise, He's going to raise. Whatever Jesus says, it's going to happen. Don't we need that in our lives? The tomb is empty. Live in hope. And so they go. So they went and quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. There's these mixed emotions. And they ran to bring his disciples the word. He said, come and see, go and tell. And what did they do? They're running to let the disciples know Jesus is gone. He's not there. The angel said he is risen just as he said he was going to. They're going to deliver the message. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. Now, do you need another shock in your system? And this word was kind of a greeting at that time. Rejoice. And so they came, held him by his feet, and worshiped him. What kind of response should the resurrection bring in us? Drawing closer to Jesus. Worshiping him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Usually if you're told not to be afraid, it's because you're afraid. But Jesus is continually to take them where they are to where they need to be. He's soothing their fear. When you're afraid, Jesus wants you to know, don't be afraid. Because when man can't handle it, Jesus can. That's the message of the tomb. We put our hope in Him. And there they will see me. He gives them a promise. Can they count on His promises? You can count on Jesus. If He says He's going to be there, He's going to be there. If He says He's coming back, He's coming back. Whatever Jesus says, He says it, that settles it. Look at what Peter says in reflection. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Into an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. The tomb is empty. Live in hope. The empty tomb gives us hope. Desire plus expectation. Secondly, when the world says false, we say true. There's a scheme that's given in the guard's report. It says in verse 11, when the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city to report to the chief priest everything that had happened. When the chief priest had met the elders, they devised a plan and gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say the disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story is widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. So they spread a lie. They said it's not true. Jesus didn't raise. His disciples took His body. And they took the money and they ran. And that lie spread. And lies sometimes take off quickly. And people believe them. And since that time, people have made up falsehoods about the resurrection. In the 1800s, a man named Ernest Renan wrote a book about the life of Christ. And he says, Jesus didn't literally die. The disciples hallucinated. And in the first month of publication, 60,000 copies were sold. People were just buying it up. In 1966, a book came out called The Passover Plot, in which there was a plot and Nicodemus and others were involved in it, and they drugged Jesus, and the plan failed because Jesus got stabbed by the spear, and he wrote this book. And in the first few months, 100,000 copies sold. There's people today saying Jesus didn't raise from the tomb. And when the world says false, we say true. The truth is, He did raise from the dead. And the evidence is overwhelming. If you just look at what's taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in the book of Acts, and in the letters of the New Testament, and you looked at all that evidence, Lee Strobel made a comment that he said, if you took all the accounts and you looked at the witnesses, you interviewed each of those witnesses for 15 minutes, you would have 128 hours of evidence. That's a lot of evidence, I would think. If you brought that evidence into the courtroom, that would be 5 days of evidence, night and day, 24 hours a day, of eyewitnesses that said Jesus rose from the dead. I remember as a teenager reading the book called The Resurrection Factor by Josh McDowell, at the same time reading the book by Ed Horton about Christian evidences. And being convicted from the evidence that is there about the empty tomb, it's overwhelming. It changed my whole perspective. I read that when I was about 16, 17 years old. When I was 19 years old, the church I was going to, the author of The Christian Evidence is Ed Horton, was a member of the same church, and the elders decided that all the classes on Wednesday nights needed to study Christian evidences. So I was 19 years old, and they gave me the privilege of teaching a 7th grade boys class, 25 7th grade boys on Wednesday night, historical Christian evidences. That's another story. But as I taught them, one of the kids was, I didn't think he was paying attention at all. I was so frustrated. And his sister came up to me and said, I want you to know how much my little brother appreciates this class. And she started telling me all the stuff that I was teaching. I didn't think there was any way he could get anything out of that. But you know what was incredible? A short time later, he was a student at a university. And he brought a lot of his friends to Christ because of the convictions he had about the evidence about God and about Jesus Christ and about the resurrection. When they say false, we say true. And what was the message? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, for I received what I passed on to you, of first importance, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And he gives evidence of the people who believed at his time that were witnesses. And what was the message of the New Testament church? It was the truth. If you go and you look at Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, and just part of it, starting in verse 22, you outline it to the end. What do you find? What's the outline? The Son of God lived for us, verse 22. The Son of God died for us, verse 23. The Son of God rose for us, 24 through 32. And the Son of God reigns over us. And the church exploded. And what was the message? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, and the fact that He is Lord, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Him, and He reigns. When they say false, we say true. God wants us to respond to the resurrection with conviction and belief that Jesus raised from the dead, and we need to tell the world, share our faith, believe in that. Jesus is alive. True or false? True. The world needs to know. It's true. Don't hide. Go. It says that the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told him to go. And they saw him and worshiped him, but some doubted. They weren't completely where they needed to be, but Jesus was taking them to that point. And even though they were struggling maybe with their faith, Jesus wanted them to understand, you've got hope. I have risen. Don't be lost anymore. Don't hide. Go. He gives them a mission. He gives them their marching orders. He tells them, this is what you need to do because I am alive. I have risen, and I want you to go into the world, and I want you to make disciples. And he says, Jesus came to them and spoke, as saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is saying all authority in heaven. Jesus has all the authority. If Jesus has all the authority, nobody else has any. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. One of our responses is, if Jesus is raised from the dead, He has all authority. He needs to be your authority. He needs to be the Lord of your life. What is the Lord of your life? People live for lots of things. We need to be living for Jesus, because all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Him. And He says, I want you to go. I've told you before. Lifeway did some statistical research. The people in the world, when we're asked the question, will you go to church? 66% of them said, we're not going to church. We will not go to church. If we're invited to go to a church, we're not going to church. But 79% of those same people said, if someone has authentic faith, not hypocrisy, not fake Christianity, not somebody that's playing church, but somebody that's really sincere about their commitment to Jesus, 79% of those people said, we want to talk to them about their faith. Satan's got us believing a lie that people don't want to hear from us. The world wants to hear from authentic disciples. That's the truth. But they're not going to come to us. We got to go to them. Jesus says, go. The emphasis is not just on go. The emphasis is on making disciples. As you go, make disciples. The emphasis is on making disciples, baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Into the possession of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Converting people to live for God and not for themselves. That's the mission. That's the focus. That's the emphasis. And Jesus says, I'm with you always. Jesus is still establishing and comforting them and letting them know, don't be afraid, I'm here. Don't be lost, I'm here. Don't give up, I am with you. And He says, when you convert them and they become Christians, teach them to observe all things. What does Jesus want? The response of the world to be is they go out and tell the world, Jesus lived for you, Jesus died for you, Jesus rose for you, Jesus is ruling. Let Him rule over you and observe all things. What does that mean? It means to obey all things. Do what Jesus says. That's the response He wants from us. There was a woman that was in her kitchen. She was cleaning dishes from lunch. She had a neighbor that was, they were very close friends, family friends. They had a little young son named Johnny. Johnny, almost on a daily basis, would come over and sneak up the back porch and come into the kitchen and look for goodies that were at her house. Well, that morning, her husband had painted the back porch. So she looks out her window and Johnny is coming up to the back porch. And she said, Johnny, don't come up the back porch. Go in the front door. And he said, I'll be careful. And she said, that's right. She said,
this ain't gonna turn out well.
That's right. The children are getting this. I hope you get this. She said she knew Johnny. So she said again, Johnny, don't come up the back porch. Come in the front door. And he said, I'll be careful. And he kept coming. And she knew this was going to be a disaster. And so she said, I don't care if you're careful. I want you to be obedient. Don't come up the back porch. The message here is, don't be careful. Don't hide. Be obedient. And when you go out into the world, teach them to be obedient. That's the response. The response in this chapter is clear. Be hopeful. Be convicted. Be obedient. And when you're obedient, if you're obedient to Jesus, you're going to have hope. If you're obedient to Jesus, you're going to have conviction. If you're obedient to Jesus, you're going to make disciples. You're going to be involved in reaching out to people that are lost. That's the response of the resurrection. That's what was wanted. That's what's needed. And how did the church respond? They went out with the message, Jesus is raised. They hoped in Jesus. They believed in Jesus. They obeyed Jesus, and they turned this world upside down. It's time for us to respond and turn our world upside down, because our world is not upright. It's not headed in the right direction. And Jesus is counting on us. Resurrection responsive. Live in hope. Say it's true. Don't hide. Go. He is risen, just as He said. Have you responded to the reality that Jesus died for you, lived for you, rose for you, and is reigning? Have you heard the message to believe and repent and confess and be baptized? And you need to do that this morning. Maybe you've been living outside and haven't been letting Jesus reign in your life. Make things right today. Whatever your need is, may we fully understand and respond to the resurrection of Jesus Christ as we stand and sing.
Deeper than the ocean and wider than the sea is the grace of the Savior for sinners like me. Sent from the Father, and it thrills my soul just to feel and to know that His blood makes me whole. His grace reaches me. Yes, His grace reaches me. And will last through eternity. Now I'm under His control, and I'm happy in my soul, just to know that His grace reaches me. Son, it was offered at Calvary for everyone. Greatest of treasures, and it's mine today, though my sins were as scarlet, He has them away. His grace as His grace reaches me, and will last through eternity. Now I'm under His control, and I'm happy in my soul, just to know that His grace reaches me.
Please be seated.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss! The Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulder. Ashamed I hear my mocking sin that held Him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know
thank you, Kendall, for that song. If we were truly listening and thinking about the words of that song as we sang it, we should have been deeply touched. What a blessing we have as Christians to gather as His children, to fellowship one another, to worship God, and to partake of the Lord's Supper. In the Gospels of Matthew, chapter 26, Mark, the 14th chapter, and Luke, the 22nd chapter, we're told how Jesus, the very night before He was betrayed and before He was to be crucified, how He chose two simple emblems for us to remember Him by. We have those. in the little communion packets that you have. The unleavened bread represents to us the body of Christ, nailed to the cross, hanging there until he died for us. The fruit of the vine represents the blood that he shed when his hands were pierced by nails and his feet, and his side was pierced with the spear. So we today, as the Lord's church, remember him this way, as he asked us to. Not just on Easter Sunday, not once a quarter or on special occasion, but every first day of the week, as the church in the New Testament did. This is the way Christ asked us to remember him every Lord's Day. As we sang the song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, if we were truly listening, as I said, we should have been touched by the words of that song. The song is based on more than a dozen different scriptures. I've selected just two of those to mention briefly this morning. One of them, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How great the Father's love for us. The other scripture is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Speaking of Christ, Peter said, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls. As we just learned from Russell's lesson, if we are baptized believers serving God, then those words were written to us. We need to be thankful for that and remember that each Lord's Day as we gather for this event. Let's look again at the words of the song we just sang. Not all of them, but just a few of those words. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. How great Christ's love for us to suffer on the cross. How great God's love for us to send his Son. Let's pray as we prepare our minds to partake of the bread. Father, we are blessed to be your children. And Father, we ask that you would bless this bread that we're about to partake, which to us is his body given on the cross. Help us, Lord, never to forget his love and his sacrifice for each of us. And please bless us as we partake. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. The song goes on, I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. His wounds have paid my ransom. Let's pray again. Father, we know that his wounds did pay our ransom if we believe, if we serve, and we obey you. Lord, please bless this cup and bless us as we partake, and help us to always live in such a way as to honor you as we look forward to his return. Lord, thank you for Jesus, and in his name we pray. Amen.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Nearer, still nearer, close to
me safe in that haven of rest. Nearer, still nearer, Lord, to be
Please take a card from the pew or the chairs in front of you. Fill them out. If you are in one of the overflow rooms, pass it in. If you're in the main auditorium, pass it out. Someone will come and pick it up at this time. And if you'd please stand with me for these final two songs.
Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without Thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need Thy strength to lead myself upon. Be with me, Lord, and then if dangers threaten, if storms of trial burst above my head, if flashing seas leap everywhere about me, they cannot harm or make my heart afraid. Be with me, Lord, no other gift or blessing Thou couldst bestow could with this one compare. A constant sense of Thy abiding presence, where'er I am, to feel that Thou art there is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with His great might. There is a God, He is alive, in Him we live, and we survive. From dust a God created man, He is a God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago, a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the
God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live and we survive. From dust a God created man, he is our God, the great I am, the great I am. Our God, whose Son upon a tree our life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set man free, and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live, and we survive. From dust a God created man, he is our God, the great I am.
We frequently hear comments about how generous this congregation is, and that generosity is made manifest in a number of different ways, but two of them that we can focus on for just a second. One is the giving of our time. For us to be successful in the work that's been identified here, we've got to give of our time, we've got to share ourselves and get the work done. The other is, obviously, the financial resources that we have, and that's important also for us to get that work done. The beginning of the year, the eldership develops a budget and a plan of action for us for the year. And for us to accomplish what's in that budget, we have to have the financial resources and the time that's devoted so that we can get those things done. So both of those things are important. There's a couple of opportunities for us to contribute, and one of them is that we can, there's a box in the foyer, you can put your contribution in that, and there's a slot in the glass in the door as you enter. You can put it there, or you can mail it to the address that's on the overhead. And now we will dismiss the online portion, and we will we'll give thanks for the offering. Our Father and our God, we're grateful to you for this day and for all the blessings that you've given us. Father, we are especially thankful for those that have joined us online. Pray that you would be with them. Pray that you would help them and that they might be able to return to us soon. Father, we pray now that you'd bless all those contributions that are made here. Pray that you would, we're thankful for our homes, our jobs, and means of support. We would ask now that you would forgive us of our sins. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.